Gold Productions, that's No Lady, that's Darcel. From September 19th through October 5th at Portland State University's Lincoln Performance Hall, located at 1620 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. We have some breaking news this morning, and we'd like to invite your calls on the same topic, because Greenpeace has decided to address the Democratic debates by dangling from the Fred Hartman Bridge in Baytown, part of the Houston greater metropolitan area, and over the Houston Ship Channel. Here's some information. Again, it's a breaking news story. So I'll be turning to Twitter for some of this information. But just hours ahead of the Democratic Party primary debate, this is Common Dreams article on it, taking place in Houston this evening, 22 activist climbers from Greenpeace blockaded the Fred Hartman Bridge in Baytown, Texas, just after dawn this morning, in order to shut down, they said, the largest fossil fuel thoroughfare in the country and demand presidential candidates take a bold stance in favor of the Green New Deal and a rapid renewable energy transition. Quoting Greenpeace USA Executive Director Annie Leonard, "We are in a climate emergency created by fossil fuel CEOs and made worse by Trump. We can either take bold action to combat the climate crisis today or suffer the consequences, more floods, more megastorms, and more fires for years to come," end quote. They write, with an average of 700,000 barrels of oil passing through the location, I guess that's a daily total, the climbers have blocked every single day. The groups say that industry expansion plans and a major U.S. push to export more fossil fuels in coming years could increase that amount to 2 million barrels in a matter of years. The demonstrators were streaming live from the bridge in Texas in order to speak to people around the world about why they are blockading passage under the bridge. So you might be able to find that on social media, live streaming from the I was able to find some by using hashtag Greenpeace, hashtag Baytown. And again, the name of the bridge is the Fred Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N Bridge. Yeah, so you may be able to find it that way if you want to watch what's going on. Latest from the local television station, KHOU, is that the local authorities have decided not to intervene directly and are just waiting to arrest them when they come down. But they are dangling from a very large bridge, very similar situation to the blockade of the ocean oil rigged tending ship, I believe that's what it was, that was blocked here in the Portland area, on the Columbia or the Willamette, I forget now. Very brave protesters dangling from the bridge in the way of passing ship traffic, so that the ship traffic has to be stopped. Returning to the article, they quote Mike Herbert, one of the climbers on the bridge, quote, "To the presidential candidates gathered in Houston today, we need you to know there is no middle ground to stand on. Will you champion a Green New Deal and ensure a just transition away from fossil fuels, or will you side with the corrupt billionaires trying to wreck the planet for their profit? Billions of Americans are waiting on your answer," end quote. Touting the promise of the Green New Deal over the status quo, Leonard said Democratic candidates should recognize it as a no-brainer. Another quote from Leonard, "Here's what can happen when we finally choose renewable energy over fossil fuels." She said, "We can create millions of high-paying union jobs. We can keep our air and water clean and safe, and we can, and our otters," not what she said, "and we can safeguard our climate against catastrophe. We can't afford to screw this up, and we won't let oil executives do that for us, end quote. So you've been calling in to talk about climate action and the Green New Deal. Sanders has a very elaborated Green New Deal. Sanders is big news is that Sanders has broken ahead in the polls. So I would like to invite your calls on that topic. I have a second topic. This is 9-12. 9-11 was yesterday. And once again, the corporate media tried extra hard to get the American public to believe the not credible official story of what happened on that day. So the number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. If I understood correctly, you were listening to members of Extinction Rebellion. So I'm going to turn to their website and give you an idea of what's coming up. First, you need to know that the 20th is the, I think that's a Friday, that's the Global Climate Strike. I'm going to have to pull up a calendar and make sure that's actually correct. Let's see, September 2019, it's not that hard, right? And anyway, the 20th is the day of the big strike. And, computer doesn't want to work that way. Great. September 12th is swarming prep. That's today. They'll be at Colonel Summers Park doing that. September 18th, West Side Orientation. September 20th is the Global Climate Strike, including Portland, Oregon. Friday, 10:30 a.m. And so that's the big international, well, is it national or international? I'm not sure. Big national, at least, deal. The 20th, the day to go on strike for the climate. On September 22nd, Climate Strike for Immigrant Justice. On September 24th, Escalating Resistance Mass Rebellion Training. That'll be in the Old Church Concert Hall. All of this is on the website for Extinction Rebellion Portland. You can find it with a web search. October 12th is Antonio Zamora's CSO Launch Fundraiser and Party. So I'm glad to see that they are standing up for Antonio, who has been arrested as, well, basically a political stunt. So the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Following on something that was brought up last hour, and as I was saying, I'm continuing on that topic and inviting your calls. Another article on Common Dreams, we must be bolder than ever. Labor Federation representing 30 million workers calls on all unions to join global climate strike. That's the headline. They're quoted saying, we cannot let the vital idealism of this new generation be poisoned by cynicism and doubt. This is our last chance. They are our last chance. We must stand with them. This is by Jake Johnson, who's a staff writer. He writes, to combat the common and false perception of the labor movement as an opponent of the fight for climate justice rather than an enthusiastic and necessary ally, a labor federation representing over 30 million workers from 152 countries is calling on unions around the world to join or do everything they can to support the millions of people set to take to the streets on September 20th, again, that's Friday, September 20th, for the youth-led global climate strikes. Rosa Pavanelli, General Secretary of Public Services International, is quoted saying the Global Union of Federation Workers in Public Services is calling on our affiliates and unions across the world to do all in our power to support the Week of Action on Climate, including by taking strike action where possible. To build the political will needed to change the system, we must be bolder than ever, end quote. And to quote further, the climate strike provides an opportunity to break out of our constraints, to reinvigorate our movement, to learn from young people on the front lines, and to redefine what is possible, end quote. Returning to the article, Pavanelli said, the September 20th strikes and the broader push for transformative climate action represent a historic chance to revitalize the labor movement and build the kind of broad coalition capable of defeating the powerful corporate forces standing in the way of necessary change. Quoting again, for many people, unions are seen as an increasingly defensive or reactive force. Under sustained attacks from the right across the world, we were forced to fight to preserve our achievements rather than expand social justice. The climate strike provides an opportunity to break out of our constraints, to reinvigorate our movement, and to learn from young people on the front lines and to redefine what is possible. We cannot let the vital idealism of this new generation be poisoned by cynicism and doubt. This is our last chance. They are our last chance. We must stand with them, end quote. That quote was used as a banner with the headline, of course, so I'm repeating it. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Are you going to strike on September 20th, or are you going to come out? So I'll return to that article in just a moment. But I want to make a quote here. It is a quote of Winston Churchill on the 11th of November, 1947. He said, "Many forms of government have been tried and will be tried in this world of sin and woe. No one pretends that democracy is perfect or all-wise. Indeed, it has been said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all those other forms that have been tried from time to time," end quote. Now, don't bother calling in saying Churchill's a monster. I know he is, but he's well-known. And that is the source of the quote about democracy, and he's right about that. It is better than the rest, because the rest are so bad. And I bring up democracy because, as a KBOO member, it is time for you to participate in democracy. As a member, you can vote for the election coming up, and the election's results will be announced starting at noon on... actually, it'll be announced at 1, but the annual general meeting is at noon at the Clinton Street Theater over on Southeast Side, Southeast 26th and Clinton. The owner of the Clinton Street's been a longtime supporter of a KBOO, and so we are invited to gather there, and we shall. So that's noon this Saturday, just a couple days, and it'll be the big annual meeting. We'll all be there. I think it should be pretty exciting. And I do hope that you'll show up. Now, the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Returning to the article about union support for the youth-led climate mobilization, reflecting the deeply intertwined relationship between the struggles for economic and climate justice, Lauren Burke of the Labor Network for Sustainability, or the LNS, if you like, told Common Dreams, quote, "The labor movement and the movement to combat climate change are really linked, and I think anything saying otherwise is really a false dichotomy. To transform our economy in a way that we need to transform it to combat climate change really is going to require a huge transition, and that's going to mean a lot of jobs," end quote. Another quote from Lauren Burke, Labor Network for Sustainability, "The labor movement and the movement to combat climate change are really linked, and anything I say otherwise is really a false dichotomy." LNS Research Director Jeremy Brecher and Worker Institute Fellow Jay Minjin Cha stressed that point in an op-ed for The Guardian this week, arguing that we can fight climate change, as a quote, and create millions of good green union jobs in the process. Far from being opponents of climate action, they added, rank-and-file union members understand that climate change is a real threat, that addressing it can create jobs and strengthen unions, and that the government has a responsibility to protect climate communities and workers. Lost in this false choice between jobs or the climate is that union workers also live in communities and want to live in a clean, healthy environment," end quote. He writes, "The backing of unions across the world has been welcomed with open arms by climate campaigners, including 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, whose activism helped spark the youth-led movement that organized next week's climate strikes. In response to a message of support from Sharon Burrow, General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation, which represents 207 million workers worldwide, Thunberg tweeted, "We no longer stand alone." Burrow said the unions plan to strike wherever possible. Where that's not possible, said Burrow, they will take stop work action and other forms of protest. So, September 20th, the big strike. Are you down with it? And speaking for myself, I do like the idea of a general strike. I think it's one of those things that Americans are starting to catch on to the potential power of that. So there have been general strikes in the United States before. Famously, there were longshore general strikes, longshoremen-led general strikes in Seattle and Portland at the turn of the last century, a little more than 100 years ago. And they were interesting collective actions. The history of those actions is fascinating because it shows the potential of what can happen when people organize on an equal basis. Certainly it was flawed. It was something that was done suddenly. It exceeded the expectations in some cases of the unions involved. But people even collaborated to distribute milk during those strikes. They made sure that what was necessary got done. And it must have been a fascinating few days before the National Guard showed up. But a national general strike is needed on several levels, and I agree with the idea of the Green New Deal. I'd be interested to know what you think. I'd like to ask you to call in 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Again, the breaking news is that Greenpeace has blocked the Houston Ship Channel, and thereby blocked probably is going to end up being millions of barrels of oil, and they plan to do it for 24 hours. So they'll be here, on the Baytown Bridge, the bridge in Baytown, I should say, the Fred Hartman Bridge, until tomorrow morning. And it's starting to get national coverage a little bit, but not nearly the coverage that you would expect from a breaking event like that. Notice that ABC is starting to cover it a little bit. Let's see, HCSO Texas says the protesters won't be disruptive, but they will face charges when it's all over. Let me just check what's the latest on the Twitter from hashtag Baytown. Let's see, someone's complaining it took 23 minutes to go a mile northbound over the bridge. But the protesters aren't actually blocking automobile traffic on the bridge. They're blocking the ship traffic in the Houston Ship Channel that the Fred Hartman Bridge crosses. Let's see. Major traffic delays in the Baytown area, says, caused by Greenpeace USA. It's actually being caused by the cops because those ropes aren't in the way of the cars. And isn't that so often the case? Number to call, 503-231-8187, and Pascal is on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Pascal. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we're your signal's breaking up a bit, so you might want to hold your phone at its best angle to get to the latest cell tower, I guess. You still there?
Right. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, a little better. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm calling about the climate action because I wholeheartedly believe in it, and I know it's the right thing to do, because in the future, us old people aren't going to be around, and anybody who's active in this climate action is definitely doing the right thing. We should consider to undo the things that we've already done. We have huge problems with carbon emissions, and we're not going to fix them, and we allow companies to buy green credits instead of actually having people do things more environmentally sound. And it's just a big mess.
Yes, indeed. What do you think of the Green New Deal?
I think it's a good idea. I think any action we can take for the environment at this point is a good idea. Everything's on fire. Africa's on fire. Brazil's on fire. These things aren't just because of what's happening in those countries. It's a worldwide thing. Everything is interconnected, but I think the Green New Deal is a good idea, but I don't believe politics play a huge role in what we have going on right now in our society, but politicizing the environment isn't going to save it. We politicize a lot of things, and it hasn't changed much.
Well, hasn't it been politicized, though? I mean, how can we evade that context?
Well, it's true. It's true, and I'm not disagreeing with the political process being a way, but it's up to people to change some of their habits, to change some of their ways, to change some of the ideas that they have at their core with politicizing things to change the environment. It's not a one-step thing. I don't think the Green New Deal is going to solve everything. People have to take action as well. There definitely has to be direct action. It has to be both things for us to be in a better place environmentally.
All right. Well, thank you for your opinion. What do you think of the actions such as the valve turners who shut down a major pipeline very carefully? What do you think of the protesters hanging from the Fred Hartman Bridge in Baytown?
Well, I think it's a good idea, and it's a start. It lets people know how serious this problem is, and the lengths that people are willing to go to bring attention to it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Been talking about the Green New Deal as well as the ongoing breaking news action. The Houston Ship Channel is blocked. I don't know if people know how big that is. I lived in Houston for a while, and you don't block the Houston Ship Channel. And man, when it gets blocked, it's like blocking the freaking Mississippi in terms of economic power. So it's probably going to stop a million barrels of oil for 24 hours at least. Turning to the Green New Deal, if you pull up Sanders' website, there's a list of bullet points, and starting from the top, reaching 100% renewable energy for electricity and transportation by no later than 2030, and complete decarbonization by 2050 at the latest, consistent with the United Nations this is one of those mornings where it's just hard to say intergovernmental. United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change Goals by expanding the existing Federal Power Marketing Administrations to build new solar, wind, and geothermal energy sources. And speaking for myself, that's one of the aspects of this, is that the Green New Deal reaches out to existing government tools and agencies and says, let's just, we'll use what's on the ground and expand it, often as not. Second bullet point, ending unemployment by creating 20 million jobs needed to solve the climate crisis. Now, speaking for myself, this country is in a horrific unemployment and underemployment crisis. The wages are too damn low and the rents are too damn high. It's not hard to understand. And the rents are too damn high because we haven't trimmed back the corporate capitalists. We just have let them do their thing. We bought into this Ayn Randian crap that's been spouted since the 80s, particularly. The idea that you too are somehow going to break out, just who knows what's going to happen, next Thursday maybe, and you'll have that brilliant idea that's going to, I don't know, get patented. I don't know how it works out in your head. Like, you're going to become a billionaire. You're not. You absolutely are not going to become a billionaire. And that's because it takes hundreds of billions to become a billionaire. That was true for Armand Hammer. That was true for the Koch brothers. That's how it works. There are people who are born billionaires. The heirs of the Walton fortune, Walmart heirs, are born with tens of billions to their name. They are born kings and emperors in this world. And they've never lifted a finger. And they certainly don't deserve that, nor is it healthy for any society to tie up so much cash and power into, a feudal hierarchy like that. But I'm going to go to the next caller, 503-231-8187. It's Robbie. Thank you, engineer. Hi, Robbie. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
I wanted to give some tools. I don't want to stray away. I love the topic that you're doing, but whenever the climate change topic gets brought up, and we all still know those people that don't believe that it's happening, I wanted to give some listeners and you some tools. I know you'll appreciate this, but are you aware of geoengineering?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so a while ago, maybe 15 years ago, there was a Republican senator who found out that our Department of Defense was spending $500 million a year to combat global warming. And this is, I think, right before or right during the Obama administration. And what they were doing is they were essentially putting stuff up to reflect certain amounts of light to try to stop certain forms of global warming. Now, the idea was to not hurt the exports, the agricultural industries of our nation. That's why our Department of Defense got involved with geoengineering. Now, the only reason why I bring this up is because if you were to look up the Beijing Weather Modification Office, the Beijing Weather Modification Office has a Wikipedia page. It clearly explains that they made it snow on New Year's They made it sunny for the Olympics in 2008. And the only difference between the American media and the Chinese media is the fact that the Chinese media has come out to their people and said that they are a world power because they can control the weather. You know,
yeah, the Soviets were big on that too, and they used to be very open about it. In the case of Chernobyl, there was a very radioactive rainstorm heading towards Moscow at one point, which was dumped using silver iodide very successfully by the Soviet weather control. So yeah, this is a thing, and I agree that with what you're saying, and I have noticed that the Pentagon has begun to move forward on this. $500 million is a pretty small budget for them, but I've seen with my own eyes, I've actually seen things. It's been a year or so now, but I was looking up in the sky in Portland, and everyone who's big on chemtrails is saying, yeah, it wasn't chemtrails, it was contrails, but contrails will do it. And what I watched was a big four-engine aircraft do what's called an Immelmann. And that's a roll in which you flip the airplane upside down so that it travels. First you dive. this was invented by Immelmann, who was a biplane pilot in World War I. First you dive, then you roll the plane up so that it's going backwards from the direction it was going. And then, let's see, I used pitch instead. First you pitch it, and then you roll it so that you're eventually going the opposite direction that you started. Now, this is not something that you do with a commercial aircraft because you'd scramble your passengers. That was definitely weather modification happening over Portland on a particularly hot day. And I watched contrail after contrail being built, and that's the type of weather modification that they've been doing for. There are actually corporations connected with the Pentagon right now that are doing that, and it's called, agricultural weather modification.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring this up because a lot of people aren't aware of this, like you and I are, and it's a great tool for actually bringing up to any climate denier if you say, hey, we're actually geoengineering the planet. And I go a little bit further because I find that a lot of times what the media will do just to frame the climate debate so it's left and right instead of the truth. And so one thing that they'll do is they'll there's the climate deniers who say they have scientists, and what's happening is they can't conclusively, like for instance they'll try to see, like, okay, if the CO2 emissions are supposed to change the weather, then why is this inconsistent? And that's what gives the right, their scientists. Now, they're not wrong, but it's obvious that we're geoengineering the weather, which is going to create those inconsistencies in those reports. And that's why
we're losing your signal.
Oh no!
Be careful. Are you driving?
Through a tunnel.
Okay, yeah, be careful. We're going to have to go to somebody else right now, but thanks for calling in.
Okay.
503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. Yeah, I don't want to encourage you to call in while you're actively driving. I know it's going to happen, but, it'd be better if you pulled over. Now, returning to the Green New Deal and inviting your calls, 503-231-8187. Sanders writes, we will also create millions of jobs in sustainable agriculture engineering, a reimagined and expanded civilian conservation corps, that's a reference to the 1930s, and preserving our public lands. Next bullet point, directly invest in a historic $16.3 trillion, that's with a T, public investment towards these efforts, in line with the mobilization of resources made during the New Deal and World War II, but with an explicit choice to include Black, Indigenous, and other minority communities who were systematically excluded in the past. Next bullet point. By the way, the number to call, 503-231-8187. Next bullet point, a just transition for workers. This plan will prioritize the fossil fuel workers who have powered our economy for more than a century and who have too often been neglected by corporations and politicians. We will guarantee 5 years of a worker's current salary, housing assistance, job training, health care, pension support, and priority job placement for any displaced worker, as well as early retirement support for those who choose it or can no longer work. Next bullet point, declaring climate change a national emergency. We must take action to ensure a habitable planet for ourselves, for our children, and for our grandchildren. We will do whatever it takes to defeat the threat of climate change. Next point. Saving American families money by weatherizing homes and lowering energy bills, building affordable and high-quality modern public transportation, providing grants and trade-in programs for families and small businesses to purchase high-efficiency electric vehicles, and rebuilding our inefficient and crumbling infrastructure, including deploying universal, affordable, high-speed internet. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Been talking about climate action today, following on the previous hour's show, and been talking about Extinction Rebellion as well. September 20th, Friday after, let's see, how do you say it? Friday next? No, that's too confusing in this culture. Friday after this Friday, there is to be a national strike to protest corporate-led climate change and to promote addressing climate change, so that, and it's led by youth who have everything to lose. And the thing that reminds me of is the Vietnam War, in which our youth were being sent off and slaughtered. It was much more direct and visceral. People were coming back in coffins, and back then the corporate news actually had a bit of distance intentionally set with their news departments, and the coffins were actually on camera and were shown coming back from the war theater, so that Americans understood what was happening. Certainly it was framed as the domino theory, the idea that the commies were going to come and make us all wear little furry hats and drink borscht, but they understood that the youth were being, certainly the youth understood that they were being slaughtered, and that put some fire in their bellies, and they came out in vast numbers and protested. And here again we see, this is why I observe that there is a similarity, that here again we see that the youth have been betrayed. In this case, betrayed by a future that has been taken away, a future of drowned coastal cities, obliterated crops, collapsing economy, heat waves that are unendurable, and etc., the sort of thing that is coming our way, starting to happen right now, because of rapidly accelerating climate change. The number to call, 503-231-8187. And I started with breaking news. The Houston Ship Channel has been blocked by Greenpeace. Greenpeace protesters are hanging from the Fred Hartman Bridge in Baytown over the Houston Ship Channel, blocking those oil tankers so that they can't go through. And they say that they will do this for 24 hours, and they're doing it to bring climate change to the Democratic debates, since the Democratic National Committee, which controls the debates, has refused vehemently to have a debate centering on climate change. That is because, of course, of their loyalty to the fossil fuel industry. It's what the Democratic National Committee is about. And I can't say that I'm surprised that they've done that. But on the face of it, it seems surprising, because you'd think that the Democrats would want to promote the Green New Deal and promote the idea of saving everyone's viability within the greater economy, the idea of saving the planet itself. It's pretty exciting. I think the Green New Deal, if fully implemented, would be probably the most exciting thing for Americans since the Second World War. And the Second World War, I understand, was a horror. But there was a certain excitement as people on the home front did everything that they could to make sure that the war effort went well. Everything from buying bonds to saving little scraps of steel and aluminum. And number to call, 503-231-8187, and Andy is on the air. Oh, excuse me, Eddie is on the air.
That's okay.
Well, hi, Eddie, what's up?
Good morning. Yeah, thanks for having me on the air.
Yeah, what's up?
Long-time listener, long-time climate and or more environmental justice person. So, like the conversation, one of the things you just mentioned was the Vietnam War, and I wanted to include another youth movement that really made some change, but you know, also kind of didn't make some change, because there's things we do. We come out and we protest, you know, the civil rights movement, right? So a lot of that work, the lunch counter sitting, the initial, you know, some of the bombing, some of the, you know, attacks on children and the school desegregation, you know, children bore the brunt of and took up the mantle of that battle. And it's been a long, you know, it's still a long, you know, we're still struggling, you know, like you mentioned, the Vietnam War protests, and, you know, yet the Vietnam War extended until 1975, and then we started new wars very quickly. So, you know, it's one thing to come out and to make minor changes. You know, the political and military industrial complex does this temporary lapse of its destruction of the planet on some kind of evangelical mission to destroy Earth because it's in their Bible, but you know, everybody else's book says take care of the Earth. So, you know, this is I think it's going to have to get worse, and Europe and Western European descendants, essentially white folks, will have to suffer more before real changes take place. Because you have like Amazon, and there's indigenous people that are being killed all over the planet because they've been fighting and stating these things. But I don't think it's going to come home, and I think it's going to have to become one of those, you know, Philip K. Dick dystopian situations before the majority of white people really feel it. And, you know, they're going to have to see their children, you know, in pain and suffering, and, you know, more so than the coal miners in Appalachia that are protesting right now and blocking coal trains.
Well, I think you're onto something there. I think that that disparity in economic power and social power does make a difference, because you have a privileged class. You have the white class, and that brings up something that came up last hour. I do think that an appropriate and one of the few appropriate uses of white privilege is to actually get arrested, to go out and go on the streets, because this is the, you know, Jim Crow's been digitized now, so once you get arrested, you can't ever get a job again unless you're white enough to have the cash, you know, I'm speaking very broadly, to get the record expunged, and that's not going to happen if you didn't have enough money to make bail in the first place.
Right. And, you know, in regards to the green, you know, climate action plan, or, you know, the Green Deal, and, you know, the ideas about, you know, transforming and, you know, WPA-style transformation of the social fabric of this country, I am completely in support of, you know, of pushing ideas that are beyond the scope of people's understanding. You know, trillions of dollars invested in jobs, trillions of dollars in green energy and solar panels and you know, green infrastructure and food. I've been growing food I've been a farmer for 22 years. I work with creating new farmers. We have a population of immigrants and refugees and just people who are interested in farming. We have ag land in Oregon, you know, that is being underutilized and not protected. I mean, the farmland protection regulations in just this state alone are horrendous compared to, you know, the type of hunger and poverty that Oregon has very Mississippi style and Alabama style social impact, you know, health impacts and disparities. So, you know, I'm looking to ramp this up. I support you, you know, completely. I'm glad you were having this conversation. And, you know, similar to the turn of the last century, I think it's going to become, it has to become more damage, you know, I don't know, more violent or more suffering. And, you know, that's when Getty put the library system in, you know, because, you know, when the rich know that we're coming to eat them and we don't give a crap anymore about buying the things or protecting Wall Street, then, you know, I think some real change will happen.
I think you're right about that. Well, thanks for calling in. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Continuing on the bullet points for the Green New Deal, supporting small family farms by investing in ecologically regenerative and sustainable agriculture. This plan will transform our agricultural system to fight climate change, provide sustainable local foods, and break the corporate stranglehold on farmers and ranchers. Justice for frontline communities, especially under-resourced groups, communities of color, Native Americans, people with disabilities, children, and the elderly, to recover from and prepare for the climate impacts, including through a $40 billion Climate Justice Resiliency Fund, and providing these frontline and fence line communities a just transition, including real jobs, resilient infrastructure, and economic development. Number to call, 503-231-8187. We'll go to the next caller. Hi, John.
Hello. Yeah. You know, in terms of fires, Alaska's on fire, Siberia's on fire. Yeah. Australia's on fire. It's not just Africa and Brazil. It seems to me that for resilience infrastructure, that community gardens and planning for a collapse of the industrial agricultural system in an urban area, it would be a very important approach. And a neat book along the resilient agriculture is Kiss the Ground, and he discusses how much an ecological agriculture could do to slow down the damage of the climate change.
Yeah, I think you're bringing up a good point. I mean, right now, the climate emergency is horrific. As you say, there are fires in the Arctic, fires in Australia, fires in the Amazon, and that's, you know, for people facing that, it's terrifying. We've had years of terrifying fires in California. There was already a fire started this year in Southern Oregon. I know it's burned for a while. It was not. It wasn't like the Camp Fire. It's kind of hard to say on the air. If you put it in print, you have a capital C on Camp, and people understand that it refers to the fire called Camp. But I say Camp Fire on the air. It's just like, but yeah, it was the one. And if you read about that fire, it was terrifying. It could happen here, and it's hard for people to imagine a howling tornado of fire coming down through an urban area, but that's what happened. It was a bit exurban, but you know, Portland's kind of exurban in a lot of places. It could happen here. It's happened before. Forest Park has burned before. We need to take action on this disaster, which is happening to us right now, and just get over our denial of it, I think.
And the press just flat out doesn't report it. I mean, Paul Beckwith did a death analysis for Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas. And based on the fact that some communities in the Bahamas were totally washed away, yeah, they found seven bodies, but they were communities that over 4,000 people lived in. So
there's definitely thousands of deaths
and people that were washed out to sea.
You're absolutely right. And I've been looking at some video. Twitter is a good place to see this. Sometimes you have to search sometimes in different languages to find what's going on. But I saw one video in particular that just showed a smashed area, which had apparently been a shanty town. And the camera found corpses everywhere it looked, under the water, just barely, you know, like under 6 inches of water. Corpses strewn everywhere. So, yeah, this is something that is also, I think, being kept out of the news, that thousands have died in the Bahamas.
I hope that the climate strike pushes more towards getting the news to report. As Paul Beckwith said, only one of the mainstream media in one of their 216 broadcasts mentioned the role of climate change in Hurricane Dorian.
Yeah, I think Democracy Now! Is pointing that out. It was really a tiny percentage.
And Democracy Now! Has been good about that. They've been good about pointing out that a big part of the refugees moving north, particularly from Honduras, is due to the ongoing drought and the inability of people to grow their own food.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely, these things are definitely connected.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Sometimes it manifests as a crop blight, and so you might see, if you catch any international news at all, you might see that there is a blight on the coffee crops in places in Honduras and Salvador. But that's climate change is doing that. The blight, the fungus wouldn't be able to grow if the temperature were a few degrees cooler consistently. And that's not happening. And so these things are popping up. Once again, number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And I was reading from the Green New Deal, because the previous hour was about climate change with members of Extinction Rebellion, the youth strike. The general strike is coming up Friday the 20th, so 8 days from now. And it'll be interesting to see how that works out. By the way, we will be in membership drive. I plan to be out of town, so I won't be broadcasting during the membership drive. I would like to encourage you to join KBOO by pulling up KBOO.fm right now and clicking on the support button. It just takes a couple minutes of your time, and we take any amount, but if you want to be a member, then I'd like to suggest that you give us $10 a month. If you're working, if you're doing okay, then why not support KBOO? Because this is the sort of news that you're going to hear. This is the sort of analysis that you're going to hear on KBOO that you're not going to hear elsewhere. You're not going to hear it in depth. You're not going to hear it unalloyed with the corporate perspective. The Koch brothers are not giving us money. We are not taking money from Exxon. We don't get all that much in terms of our budget. We really don't get much government money, and that's kind of a new thing. If you look in terms of the history of KBOO, it's come and gone, and the one thing we can count on is you. The one thing over 51 years that we've been able to count on is your donations, and that's very intentional. It's not something that can change. We can never go to a format in terms of fundraising in which we rely on government or big donors or the nonprofit sector. We can't go there, because if we ever did, then we would cease to be community radio. Community radio was created by Lou Hill and others, the Pacifica idea, right after World War II. The idea was that by having people participate directly, by having you participate directly, you understood, you continually feel and understand your stake in what you're listening to. You control it. Speaking of the control, once again, Saturday, the general meeting will be at noon at the Clinton Street Theater on Southeast 26th in Clinton. So be there or be square. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Returning to the Green New Deal, went through several bullet points, which first addressed the amount of money that is necessary to do this. It's a multi-trillion dollar effort. Mobilization of the entire society so that this is actually a new deal, as in the 30s, as in the Great Depression. And I would argue that we are suffering a second Great Depression. It's obvious if you look at it. It's one of those things, it's sort of like 9/11. It's like those those buildings, if you look at the unaltered videotapes, you can see those buildings are detonated. You can trust your eyes on that. Building 7 particularly just goes straight down into what used to be its basement. That is a detonation. Buildings don't ever fall like that without being detonated. And you can trust yourself. You can trust what you know to be true. And you can also trust yourself when you see so consistently that people have been living, you know, off the side of the highway, in tents, on the sidewalks, in vacant lots, that we are suffering a second Great Depression. It isn't a recession, really. Because what makes a Great Depression? Depressing, horrible conditions. That's what we've got. We have an economic betrayal of the American people, and it's ongoing. And so the Green New Deal addresses that, addresses it at the same time that it addresses the climate emergency. And it is a redistribution of wealth, because these trillions would have to be taken from the great parasites of our society, Wall Street and the great corporations, who hide trillions of dollars offshore, money that they don't even know what to do with. They have so much money that they can't build yachts big enough to make a serious dent in the trillions of dollars that they have set aside. The maldistribution, the poor distribution of wealth in this country is grotesquely out of control. But returning to the Green New Deal, justice for frontline communities, already covered that. Commit to reducing emissions throughout the world. And following on that, the next bullet point is meeting and exceeding our fair share of global emissions reductions. They explain the United States has for over a century spewed carbon pollution emissions into the atmosphere in order to gain economic standing in the world. Therefore, we will have an outsized obligation to help less industrialized nations meet their targets while improving quality of life. Now, speaking for myself, I like this idea very much, because right now, If you look in the news day after day, you see that the United States is the villain, occupying Afghanistan for decades, refusing to allow people destroyed, whose lives have been destroyed by our global warming hurricane, to come in to Florida from the Bahamas. Returning to the text, we will reduce domestic emissions by at least 71% by 2030 and reduce emissions among less industrialized nations by 36% by 2030, the total equivalent of reducing our domestic emissions by 161%. Next bullet point, making massive investments in research and development. We will invest in public research to drastically reduce the cost of energy storage, electric vehicles, and make our plastic more sustainable through advanced chemistry. And I want to say that I like that point too. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. For example, zinc air batteries are not widely used in the United States right now, but they could be. They have a tremendous energy storage capacity. The problem with them is that they, the way that they are concocted right now, the fastest way to recharge them is to mechanically recharge them. They have to be opened up. They have to be run through a chemical change, and then they can be recharged. But it is possible, of course, to make easily, to put easily replaceable batteries on cars or even on aircraft. It would be possible to use aircraft with that level of energy storage with zinc air batteries, and to build an industry that could they can do that mechanical recharging. It's not a brand new technology. It's been around for around a decade, I guess. But it's something that would require an initial investment, require an infrastructure investment, just exactly the sort of thing that short-term profit corporations like Exxon hate to do. And so a Green New Deal could make that sort of thing, can make that sort of thing happen. And of course, if there is public research in advanced chemistry, it may be that even that is unnecessary, and that the formula for the perfect zinc air battery is just right around the corner. We don't know until we actually look, which is one reason why I like this. 503-231-8187. Next bullet point, expanding the climate justice movement. We'll do this by coming together in a truly inclusive movement that prioritizes young people, workers, indigenous peoples, communities of color, and other historically marginalized groups. I must have gone back over something I already said. Sorry about that. But the next bullet point is, this plan will pay for itself over 15 years. Experts have scored the plan and its economic effects. We will pay for the massive investment we need to reverse the climate crisis by making the fossil fuel industry pay for their pollution through litigation, fees, and taxes, and eliminating federal fossil fuels subsidies. I like that, I want to say. And I like the idea of it. It seems that if there were a huge movement backing up the Green New Deal, that might be possible. What is not possible right now in the economic climate, and what I would really like to see, is to nationalize the industry and take everything they have, everything. But returning to the Green New Deal, generating revenue from the wholesale of energy produced by the regional power marketing authorities. Revenues will be collected from 2023 to 2035, and after 2035, electricity will be virtually free aside from operations and maintenance costs. Scaling back military spending on maintaining global oil dependence. Here again, that's where I see something fairly mild in this. And I think that it's rational, and it's probably what it should be at the time it should be, in the place it should be. And but it stirs my heart to say that I would like to not just scale back military spending, but to abandon imperialism altogether. What's uglier anyway than imperialism? Certainly you would think that it was ugly if someone else's troops were here and you had to look down someone else's guns if you wanted to have freedom or to move forward on an equal basis or to have your life's plans. Returning to the text, collecting new income tax revenue from the 20 million new jobs created by the plan. Reduced need for federal and state safety net spending due to the creation of millions of good-paying unionized jobs and making the wealthy and large corporations pay their fair share. So all of those follow under the category of making the plan pay for itself over 15 years. Sanders writes, the cost of inaction is unacceptable. Economists estimate that if we do not take action, we will lose $34.5 trillion in economic activity by the end of the century and the benefits are enormous. By taking bold and decisive action, we will save $2.9 trillion over 10 years, $21 trillion over 30 years, and $70.4 trillion over 80 years. Once again, speaking for myself, of course, that's wonderful in terms of how it could work out. But really, it's about surviving, isn't it? I mean, that's the real benefit. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now it comes to the part I like. We cannot accomplish any of these goals, he writes, without taking on the fossil fuel billionaires whose greed lies at the very heart of the climate crisis. These executives have spent hundreds of millions of dollars protecting their profits at the expense of our future, and they will do whatever it takes to squeeze every last penny out of the earth. Bernie promises to go further, they write, than any other presidential candidate, blah, blah, okay. Now, getting down to more details of the plan. I'm going to skip the political part, because it's got to be fair, right? But getting down to the past those bullet points to some of the main paragraphs. Number one, transform our energy system to 100% renewable energy and create 20 million jobs. They write, there is no reason the United States, the wealthiest country in the history of the world, cannot transform our energy system away from fossil fuels to 100% renewable energy like wind, solar, and geothermal. We have more than enough capacity to produce ample, reliable, affordable electricity from sustainable resources. We must pass a Green New Deal, they write. Mike is on the air. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Yourself?
Good. I just wanted to point out something that I think that is really overlooked. I'm not sure how much the Green New Deal talks about this, but the fact that everyone should do their part in going plant-based, that methane gases are 23 to 30 times more stronger than carbon, and it doesn't seem like anyone's really talking about them like mainstream media, and that we can make such a huge impact by just changing our meals.
Methane is leaking out from our fracking. So this is another thing the Koch brothers are doing to you, is that they are greatly increasing the global amount of methane by their fracking extravaganza.
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally agree. I think that for the most part, people just, if they think that they can make a change or don't think that they can make a change, one thing that can greatly impact how people, companies produce things is by the decisions we make at the grocery store. Going plant-based, it is sustainable and completely helps the environment.
You know, that brings up something go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, that brings up something that's been galling me a bit, and that is the way that we are composting here in the Portland area. We get Waste Management and I think other corporations to take the compost, and it goes into a central heap where it is treated, and as far as that goes, that's just fine. But they're not capturing the methane. It is producing a tremendous amount of methane. It needs to be captured and I guess burned or whatever. Something has to be done with it because it's making the problem that much worse.
That can be. I mean, that's true, but it's not the main cause of it. You know, animal agriculture by far is the strongest.
Composting were scaled up, then it would become a main cause, and I don't like the way that
I think there are definitely alternatives. You're absolutely right. I agree.
I mean, you know what I'm saying is, like, when I'm composting, I'd like to think that I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, you are essentially, though. But I mean, you are in a way. I mean, you're creating. More beneficial bacteria. If you have a garden, you know, people should go back to start, you know, producing their own food, buy locally, you know, all that stuff. It does matter. And on an individual basis, you matter. You know, your vote matters. Everything that you do matters.
That's true. I would like to say that it's going to take political action. It's going to take collective action to actually move against climate change, no matter how much we recycle. I've got a little glass straw that I keep in my purse, and I forgot to bring the little brush for it, so it's like I haven't used it the last three times because I forgot to clean it out. You know, these little gestures, I think they help keep us focused. They help keep us on track. Hey, thanks for calling in. There's the music, and so I'm going to sign out. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Hope that you'll stay tuned for the Heather McCoy Show coming right up. You've been listening at 90.7 FM on our great big red and white Eiffel Tower on the West Hills and other frequencies elsewhere in Cascadia. Hey, have you joined KBOO yet? Do it at KBOO.FM, KBOO.FM, where we go out to all the ships at sea.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9:59. Coming up next, it's the Heather McCoy Show. And at 11, Between the Covers host Ken Jones talks with Lawrence Shaneberg, author of the new book, Four Men Shaking, Searching for Sanity with Samuel Beckett, Norman Mailer, and My Favorite Zen Teacher. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, SW Concert speaks with local cinema archivists who present screenings of rare and risque films. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. And if you'd like another way to listen to KBOO, please download our mobile app now.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. The events committee will meet on Monday, September 16th at 5 o'clock at Cider Riot at 807 Northeast Cooch Street.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month, we'll host the 10th anniversary of Right to Survive on Thursday, September 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. The Right to Survive 10th anniversary celebration will celebrate the Shelter for All movement, participation of Right to Dream 2, and Right to Survive. There will be a retrospective with short films, slideshows, and speakers on 10 years of Right to Survive's work for safety, dignity, health, and well-being for those without shelter. Again, that's the 10th anniversary of Right to Survive on Thursday, September 12th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm.